Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Praise God. And as you can see, we have a bunch of wild people here now. Yeah. I'm telling you, you should have been here a little bit ago. Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, some of you are saying, I knew I should have been there. Yeah, you see, you knew you should have been here. Oh, praise you, Lord. Father, we thank you tonight for your word, and we come before your word with expectant hearts. And we thank you, and we open our hearts, we open our minds and ears for revelation from heaven, revealing to us Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. We thank you and we give you all the praise and the honor and the glory, every word said, every deed that's done. Thank you in Jesus' name. Let's open our Bibles again tonight. Now, all of last week, we talked about the fundamentals of faith. Did you get anything out of that? That it's an eye-opener, isn't it? The fundamentals of faith. And let's go to our main text from the 11th chapter of Mark, the 22nd verse. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Now, I want to make an observation here before we go on. Tonight, we're going to be talking about great hindrances to faith. So, I want you to notice something from the 24th verse. And I'm going to amplify it a little bit, and then I'll prove to you where I got this from the scripture. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, start believing. Not later. When you pray, start. You get it? Now, Thomas said, I will. Say will. See, this is an act of the will. I will not believe until I put my finger in his hand and my hand in his eye. Now, Jesus said, Thomas, And when he saw him, he said, my Lord, my God. He said, Thomas, quit being faithless. That's faithless. If you're waiting to see it, to believe it, well then there's no faith in that. I mean, come on, after you've seen it, I mean, who got to believe it then? But that comes from being raised all your life, you know, like we talked about last week. We talked about from a little baby, you're working on that natural sense knowledge database. I mean, you know, when you were little, you stuck everything in your mouth to see what that was. Oh, Lord me. Oh, man. Boy, I remember what I, don't put that in your, that nasty thing in your mouth. So, Thomas would start believing when he saw it. Jesus is saying, whatsoever thing you desire, when you pray, start believing. Believing what? Believing that those words which you said will come to pass. Hallelujah. It's all right to shout in here. Hallelujah. And at home, you know, go ahead and kick the chair over. That's all right. Glory to God. Now then, lack of understanding. This is the first hindrance to faith. Lack of understanding of the new creation. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5. Let's read the 17th verse. Therefore, if any man, I want to stop right here. I know all of you know this, but you know, there are lots and lots and lots of people all over the world watching this that may be struggling with this. When the Bible is not a gender book unless it says man or woman. When it says man, it's talking about mankind. You understand? There are male tigers and there are female tigers. You better watch the female tiger. Amen. Hallelujah. I thought to get more amen out of the girls than I did, but anyway. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. If you'll study that a little bit, it actually says a new species of being. Amen. A new creature. See, you're not just a forgiven sinner. No. The moment you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you were your spirit being, the real you, the you that'll live forever, were recreated. Just as powerful, just as real as Adam was created by the Word of God when he created, you were recreated by the Word of God.
Glory. That's right.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh. Thank you, Jesus. Any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. He's talking about now your innermost being. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath, H-A-T-H, who has already reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, I want to say something. Well, of course, most of you in this room will not be startled by it, but there are people watching now, and just put your gun up. Because I'm going to say something not religious at all. I'm going to tell you some truth. Murderer, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the murderer just died. Behold, look at it again. Look at it again, please. Old things, that old killer passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God. Now listen, listen good. Who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now listen, to know, to wit, as old English for know, to know that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, listen, not imputing, not holding against them their trespasses. Glory to God. Oh, if the world knew this, I'm telling you, if the sinning world knew this, they'd beat the doors down trying to get in. And oh, I would to God, preachers would wake up and realize what this is all about. Oh, he reconciled it. The blood of Jesus solved the sin problem.
Yes, yes.
He's not holding against anybody. I baptized a serial killer in the Bexar County Jail in San Antonio, Texas. Hang on a second. I just happened to have. Would you like to hear his last prayer?
Amen.
We became very good friends. I won't go into all the story, but he kidnapped a woman and threatened to kill her if she didn't shut up. She kept telling me, you ain't gonna kill the only person that ever loved you. He said, woman, you don't know who I am. She said, I don't care who you are. I love you. He shut up. She said, can I listen to my tape? He said, I don't care what you listen to, just shut your mouth. She had one of my tapes in her, she just plugged it in. Anyway, make a long story short, I spent a considerable amount of time with him over time. And then I was with him. I was the last person to visit with him before they executed him, lethal injection, in 1985, I think. Yeah, 1985, March 13th. And this was his final prayer. Warden Harvey. Warden Harvey, of course, Warden Harvey was a spirit-filled man, lovely man, I tell you. He just recently went on to be with the Lord. And he said, Stephen, you got something you want to say? Well, he was already strapped down to that gurney. He went to preaching. Oh, if you imagine what the Holy Ghost would do with a mess like me, think what he could do with you. And finally, the warden says, Stephen, you know, I had to interrupt you, son. We got to finish due here. He said, oh, yeah, forgive me, pardon, warden. Heavenly Father, I give thanks for this time, for the time that we've been together, the fellowship in your word, the Christian family presented to me. He called the names of the personal witnesses. Allow your Holy Spirit to flow as I know your love has been showered upon me. Forgive them, for they know not what they do, as I know that you have forgiven me, as I have forgiven them. Lord Jesus, I commit my soul to you. I praise you, and I thank you. Isn't that something? A serial killer. They convicted him and tried him for three. There were more than that, but nevertheless, I wanted you to see, God's not holding any person's trespasses against them. Now you have to receive it.
Yes.
You have to receive that salvation. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. All right. Now, Colossians, oh no, excuse me, 2 Peter. Let's jump over to 2 Peter, please. And 2 Peter 1, 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now notice, I want you to get this. I'm talking about being a new creature. Say, I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
In Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus.
I have the faith of God.
I have the faith of God.
In my spirit being right now. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You have the same measure of faith as the Apostle Peter, the Apostle John, the Apostle Paul. Why? Now listen to what I'm about to say. Because He dwells in you, it dwells in you.
Amen.
Can you see it? See, God's no respecter of persons. Jesus is dwelling on the inside of you by His Spirit right now. And if He's in there, everything is in there that comes from heaven. Faith is in there. Forgiveness is in there. The love of God has been shed abroad in your faith, in your spirit, by the Holy Spirit. Whoa. I'll tell you, this is big stuff. Amen. I want you to know there is born into you and into me and every one of you watching out there, there is born into you greatness.
Yes. Glory.
Christ within you. Your hope of glory.
Yeah. Glory.
Glory to God. Amen. Colossians chapter 1. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Colossians 1. And let's begin reading in verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness. No, the Lord won't let me start that. I need to read up here look in verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Who hath, He already has, delivered us from the power, the authority of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Amen. He's already done that. Now it's up to you to respond and be reconciled to Him. Isn't that wonderful? Now, let's go down to the 22nd verse. 21. And you, oh, I love it. Help me, Jesus. I'm like Brother John Jessup. Oh, there's a run going through me. And you, Kenneth, when you sometime alienated an enemy in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. Glory be to Jesus. Glory be to God. I said glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. And let's look at the 23rd verse. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. What are we talking about? We're talking about being a new creature, being a new creation. Now look quickly at the ninth verse, second chapter, ninth verse. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Whew. So I'm a king and a priest. That was weak. Say, I am a king and a priest. Oh, hallelujah. We got a minute left here. Let's go to Revelation chapter 1. You ought to be able to find that one in a hurry. See, if you read the back of the book, we win. Oh, yeah. Revelation chapter 1. It is not revelations. I'm serious about this. Revelation. One revelation. Okay, Revelation chapter 1, and I want you to look at verse 5. No, verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Now, let me remind you, we're talking about the great hindrances to faith. As we read yesterday in Mark 11, 22, 23, 24, and 25. Well, let's turn back over there. And we'll look at that again. I want you to notice Jesus was very explicit. He said in the 22nd verse, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever says unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say, you notice he used it. He used the very spiritual law that he just introduced. Therefore, do a study sometime. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Look at the miracles of Jesus. Now, there are 19 specific miracles. Now, it looks like there's a whole lot more. Some of them are mentioned once, some of them are mentioned up to three times and so forth. But there are 19 specific ones. And notice how many times he specifically used his words as a tool. Jairus' daughter, I say unto you, arise. Look it up. I'm not going to do all your homework for you. Look it up. Now then, I want you to notice something. And when you stand praying, forgive. Now, we're talking about different hindrances to faith, which we have learned, you know, over the years and certain things that that the Spirit of God will point out to you and so forth. But Jesus mentioned the big one. Go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's the only one he specifically pointed out. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. Then he said, if you do not forgive, neither will your heavenly Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. Now, it's not because he won't, it's because he can't. Amen. Galatians 5, 6. Faith worketh by love. So anything that is not love is a huge hindrance to faith. You can readily see that. Amen. But I wanted you to notice that he specifically pointed that one out. Now, yesterday we talked about lack of understanding of the new creation. Let's go back to that and let's review that for a moment. 2 Corinthians 5:17, any man that is in Christ is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. 2 Peter 1:1. Let's look at that one. Most people are familiar with 2 Corinthians 5:17, but I'll tell you, if you're a religious-minded person, this will make you spit your gum out. Second Peter chapter 1. Oh, I know, because I remember the first time I saw it. And I read that and I thought, that's awesome. Wait a minute. Now, let me remind you of something. And I'm specifically talking to you. And, of course, everybody here. But listen, who is the author of our faith?
Jesus.
Now, that word, he remembers, he is the author and finisher. The word finisher, look it up for yourself, actually is word for develop, to finish. You can use it like this. I don't want a regular house carpenter, the guy I don't want a framer. He's framing up. I don't want him finishing my cabinets, man. I mean, they're going to be a big old half-moon dents are going to be all over the cabinet. And then he'll put something on and say, well, see, this is harassed. I don't want harassed cabinets. I want finished cabinets. So you've got a finished man that does the finer kind of work. Jesus is the developer of our faith. He'll bring it to completion if you get it to him. But there's nothing you can do about it if you won't ever put it on the line. So, and it's so important. Don't wait until you're dealing with cancer. Don't wait until you're dealing with huge stuff like, no. I start with a pair of socks. That's where I started. I'm just kind of wondering, you know, my way through this kind of thing. But then when I went to OU and I got my first tape of Brother Kenneth Hagin's, whoa, man alive. We were in my mother's home. We had just come back. We were living in Tulsa, of course, there in school. And we came home, and of course, my mother, oh, I'm telling you, Gloria Copeland is the one that got her little boy saved. And I'm telling you, she just, boy, Gloria walked in the room and my mama said, come on. I don't even know what they were doing, but she ran off in the back bedroom back there showing Gloria something. I don't know what it was. And I said, "Mama, you got any tapes or anything to listen to?" "Yeah." She went in there. A Webcor tape recorder, which is about this big, and handed me a tape of Brother Hagin. I knew who he was. I had seen him in a Full Gospel Businessmen's meeting sometime, short time before that. Anyway, I put that tape on. I was stunned. It literally, it rocked me to my very being. I never got out of the house without my New Testament in my pocket. Smith Wigglesworth said, "I'll give £5, £5 to anybody that can catch me without my Bible." Amen. Well, I don't get out without my Bible either. Back there then, you know, you had to carry it with you. Amen. And now I got it in my phone. Well, of course, it's wherever I go. Amen. I use it too. Praise the Lord. And I'd rather get caught out without my britches than without my Bible. Come on. I can take my Bible and get me some britches. Hey, yeah, glory to God, yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Pray. That shook me up till I forgot where I was. The whole point is Jesus. Let's do something. Lift your hands. Close your eyes. Lord Jesus, I have received you as my Savior. I have received you as my baptizer in the Holy Spirit. I've received you as my healer. Right now, I receive you not only as the author of my faith, but the developer. I place my faith in your hands. I fully expect you to help me develop it and make me stronger and stronger every day. Give the Lord a praise for that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. Now, excuse me. Let's go. We read Colossians 1:22. We read 1 Peter 1:23 and 2:9. We read Revelation 1:5 and 6. Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 through 14. Remember now, this is lack of understanding of being a new creation in Christ Jesus. Hebrews chapter 2. Boy, this is some more shouting ground to Jesus. Now, remember in the book of Hebrews, God, who at sundry times, and in different manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. He has appointed Jesus heir of all things. We are joint heirs with Christ. Glory to God. I wish I could spend the night on that, but I better not. Now, verse 9. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. Let me explain that to you. When he went to the cross, he was made to be sin by God. He was made a little lower than Satan, who is a fallen angel. In other words, Satan had authority over him momentarily. You remember in the desert and when the serpents bit? What was on the pole that they were to look to and be healed? A serpent. That really bothered me when I first started reading that. I thought, what you put that snake up there and represent healing for? Here it is right here. Amen. He had to be subject to him. He had to die. He had to suffer more than any human has ever suffered or ever will suffer. He had to go to the end of the bottom of the pit. No human being has ever been there but him. He suffered every sin, every sickness, all of it. He did not just individual diseases. He suffered death and sin and disease all together. Whew. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We see Jesus made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing, read it with me, many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Now, hold on a second. That's not talking about what he suffered on the cross. We'll keep reading and I'll show you what I mean. For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Missed a chance to shout right there. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I am the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, Jesus, also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy. That word destroy, look it up, study it, look at other translations. It means to paralyze. It means to bring to naught, zero. Satan is a zero. He has been left nothing. To paralyze him that had, past tense, that had, oh, glory to God. That had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them, listen now, who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. All he has left is the threat. If you believe it, he'll take you. But if you resist him, he'll flee immediately. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Now listen, listen here. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted. That was his suffering, being tempted. He had to stand against every temptation. With strong tears, he fought it. It was not easy because he's the Son of God. It was many, many, many times harder than anybody has ever suffered. But he did it. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Why? So you and I could be new creatures. A new species of being that had never happened until after he was born again in the pit of hell. The scripture said he was manifest in the flesh. That was in Bethlehem. He was made alive in the spirit. That was in hell. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to Jesus. Oh, dear Lord Jesus. Now, the second great hindrance to faith is the lack of understanding of righteousness. Now, this one, I believe, holds more people in bondage than anything else. The lack of understanding of being made the righteousness of God in Him. And righteousness is a religious word, because, you know, it came mainly out of the King James translation of the Bible. So, and those religious old English words get stuck in a religious setting, and people ain't got any idea what it is. Righteousness. Oh, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I heard Brother Hagin say it. I thought the same thing before I heard him say it. Man, if I could become righteous, whoa, man, I'd really be a real praying whiz. That's what he said. I'll be a praying whiz. Yeah. I thought, you know, if you could just ever get there. But it takes two lifetimes to ever get righteous enough to be right in God's eyes. That's the way the religious world thinks. And the whole religious system is wrong. I recorded a song years ago. I'm the righteousness of God. I'm the righteousness of God. And Christian disc jockeys wouldn't play it because it was heresy. They were the heretics, but they didn't know it. I mean, these are good people, but they just didn't know it. Now, Jim, you and I are both old Baptist boys, and all have sinned and come short, fallen short of the glory of God. We all know that one. Every Baptist in the world knows that verse of Scripture.
Sure, yeah.
It is sandwiched between... I think I better fix this before I have to do this now that I brought it up. Let's go to the book of Romans. And we'll look in the third chapter of Romans. We were going there anyway, eventually, but... Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Verse 23. Look at it now in your Bible. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now that one verse. Oh, my goodness. Look, even the verse 22. The righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. And verse 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. You never heard anything about them other two verses. It's just we're doomed. Glory to God. But we've been made the righteousness of God in Him.
Amen.
we've talked about, we're talking about the great hindrances to faith. And of course, Monday we started with the lack of understanding of the new creation. And we went through those scriptures there, 2 Corinthians 5:17, any man sin, Christ is a new creature, and old things have passed away and all things become new. 2 Peter 1:1, we've received like precious faith as Peter. And 1 Peter 1:23 and 2, chapter 2, verse 9, Revelation 1, 5 and 6. We won't take time to go through Hebrews 2, 9 through 14. Now we're talking about the lack of understanding of righteousness, what it is. And righteousness is not something that you have to attain. I always thought that was that you had to live right a long time, and one of these days you in the eyes of God that you'll come to that place where you can be considered righteous, that I grow in righteousness. No. You have righteousness confused with holiness. We're not talking about holiness here. Amen. Let's read that 2 Corinthians 5:21 again. 2 Corinthians 5. I don't say again, we haven't read it yet. We read the 17th and 18th verses. Verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now let's unravel that old English a little bit. For he who knew no sin, listen now, was made to be sin, that we might be made. See, we've been recreated. You're not the old person anymore. You've been recreated. And when you were recreated, he never recreated any unrighteous beings.
That's exactly right.
Because we were born again, not of corruptible seed. That would have had to have been a corruptible seed for the righteousness not to be in it.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
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 Glory a Dios. Hallelujah. Muchas gracias, Señor. Hallelujah. Oh, glory be to God. And as I said yesterday, this one keeps more people in bondage than anything else. Let's go now. Well, we read 2 Corinthians 5:21. Let's go to Romans 3. We were just there. Let's go back over there again, because we want to go to Romans 3 and then to Romans 5. Look at the 21st verse of Romans 3. Now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Now notice this. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith. It's by faith, not by deed. It's by faith of Jesus Christ, listen, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. He is no respecter of persons. like I read yesterday, the last words of Stephen Moran before he was executed, and he was thanking God for, oh my goodness. It's wonderful. Amen. That a serial killer is no longer a killer. He's a new creature in Christ Jesus.
Yes. Amen.
And just as righteous as Jesus himself. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Verse 24, being justified, same word, righteousness and justification, exactly the same Greek word. Being made righteous freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now let's go to Romans chapter 5. This fifth chapter of Romans, oh, I still remember it. Gloria and I both. It shook us. We got so excited and got so thrilled. And, you know, it. Oh, Krishnama Rupukim Bumshma Kladadesbi Espekuradondak. The human mind cannot conceive of those things that are in the spirit. It takes revealed knowledge to the serious, spirit-filled seeker and student who is hungry to know me and to know me in the power of my resurrection, saith the Lord Jesus. For unto those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, surely they shall be filled, their thirst shall be quenched, and you will begin to know me in a very intimate way, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. Yeah, that's just what I was trying to say. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being made righteous by faith, by faith. I take it by faith. Now, verse 15. Now, as the offense, so also is the, read it out loud with me, the free gift. Read it louder than that. The free gift. Jesus is the gift to the world. The Holy Spirit is the gift to the church. I'm talking about the born again church. And every born-again child of God, whether they know it or not, have received the free gift of righteousness. It's free. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Amen. Did you ever commit any righteousness?
No.
No. Did Jesus ever commit a sin?
No.
So we were made righteous with his righteousness. He was made sin with our sin. That's shouting ground in the household of faith. Woo! Woo-hoo-hoo! Hallelujah! I'll tell you what. Oh, man. Not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, get it now, that's Adam, right? Through the offense of one, many be dead, much more. Much much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many.
Amen.
Glory.
Oh. Not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift of what? Righteousness. The free gift of right standing with God is of many offenses under righteousness. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Hey, now we already read last week that we've been made kings and priests. I believe it's the Amplified Classic. I believe that the one said, we'll reign in life as kings.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Oh, my. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, I said, thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, get this, even so by the righteousness of one, talking about Jesus, the free gift came upon all men under righteousness of life.
Amen.
When Adam sinned, there was enough death to go around. When Jesus broke his power and made available his right standing with the Father, it's hanging over every living, breathing human being on this planet right now.
Thank you, Jesus.
It has come upon all men. It has come upon every being. All you have to do is take it.
Hallelujah.
It's just hanging like a real low overcast. It's just right there.
Glory to God.
He tasted death for all. You know what that means? Taste stands for the five physical senses. If you're born again, you can't taste it when you die. You can't smell it when you die. You can't see it when you die. You can't hear it when you die, and you can't feel it. And of course, enemy, death is an enemy. And you fight that thing with everything you got. You fight it right down to the, like they used to say, you fly that sucker right down to the wing bolts. Don't you ever quit flying that. Don't you ever quit.
Amen.
Let some storm whip you in that airplane. You fly that thing till it comes apart. But the moment to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Gloria.
Yes.
I know. I've heard the testimonies. Personally. You got time for just one?
Yes.
My boss, when I, Brother Bob DeWeese, when I was flying for Brother Roberts, he was my captain. And we became very close to one another. And he died on a handball court. He's a very active man, athletic. All of his life. And he was going at it on that handball court, had a massive heart attack and fell dead on the floor. And he just suddenly, And he told Gloria and me later, he said, I have no remembrance of that heart attack. None. He said, it's not in my mind. And he said, the last thing I remember, I'm really having a big time playing handball. And he was 70, about 72, 73. And he said, all of a sudden, I'm in a place that I've never been before. And he said, this is the most beautiful place I've ever seen. I'm on this little small road. But he said, this ain't like anything I ever saw before. And he said, I walked over to this fence that ran along beside the road. And he said, it looked like, to me, hand-carved mahogany. It was not barbed wire, so he wasn't in Texas, you know. And he went over to the other side, and it was the same way. And he said, Kenneth, he said, I never felt such power. You remember the Apostle Paul, whether in the body, out of the body, I could not tell, God knows.
Amen.
You don't miss this thing. This body is not you.
That's right.
You don't even know it when it's gone. And he said, then I saw the lights, and I thought, oh, dear Lord, I'm home. I saw the lights of the city. He said, Kenneth, I took off running, and he said, I'm going to tell you something, boy. You ain't never in your life felt such power. He said, there was power in my legs. He said, I've never run so fast in my life. He said, I'm flying down the road. And he said, all of a sudden, I got heavy and got bogged down, and I was back in my body, and I was in the city of faith. And the doctor and Charlotte were looking right down over me and said they had hit me with the paddles two or three times, both of them praying in tongues as loud as they could. And Charlotte's a shouting at him. Well, Bob and Charlotte were telling this story to Gloria and me. And Charlotte said, Kenneth, you want to know what the first thing he said to me? Did he say, Charlotte, thank you for saving my life? No. She said, he hollered at me and said, Charlotte, what did you do that for? Hallelujah. The point I wanted you to receive from that is this physical body is just a junk of mud. Now, it's a precious junk of mud because it's holy and it's God's and it's recorded. Amen.
Amen.
Soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, folks, it's here right now. It's right on top of us. I'm telling you, the catching away of the church is at hand while we speak. The righteousness of God. This old body, he said, don't ever feel sorry for somebody that's gone to heaven. Don't ever. Listen, don't be grieving about it when they go. Now, we understand, it hurts. Yes, it hurts. But there is a command in the New Testament. A command written to the church at Thessalonica. Sorrow not. That one say, do your best. No, he's talking about grieving. Well, of course you miss them. And of course your heart hurts. But hey, they're in your future. Here all of us are witnessing and trying to get everybody to go to heaven, and we get mad when one of them does. But that's because of a lack of training Listen, you have to renew your mind to this, and it takes work. You can't renew your mind from life to death without working at it. You have to believe the word of God. You have to take it to heart. When he says sorrow not, that means I sorrow not whether I like it or not.
Amen.
You know why? Because if you refuse to sorrow, joy is waiting on you right on the end of your faith. The spirit of grief is a killer. It works with the spirit of death. You get your household full of grief, you can expect sickness and disease. There are people that grieve for a lifetime. Stop it! I can't, Brother Cole. Yes, you can. The word of God, the Holy Spirit, Jesus would never tell you or me or anybody else to do something we can't do. But it's not easy. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it.
That's right.
But it is by faith doable when you just grit your teeth and say, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. Sir, yes, sir, I am yours to command, and I see it in your word, and I refuse to grieve. Because on the other side of that, there's joy in the morning. Sure, it hurts. Yes, it hurts. But remember this. Gloria's little brother was just suddenly taken out in a pickup wreck. He wasn't driving. He was asleep. And he was just suddenly taken out. Well, of course, you know, it just slammed this whole family. And we all got together. And I read those scriptures. And we stood on the word. Well, it was very hard on Gloria's mother, as you can imagine. Yeah. It's hard on all. But we made up our hearts and minds we were going to do this. Mm-hmm. There was a woman at a meeting that Gloria went to, ladies' meeting. She was giving her testimony about her days in heaven. She came over to Gloria. Now, let me tell you something about Stanley. Now, yesterday, I was just about to tell something about Stanley. Those of you that's tuned in today, Stanley who? I ain't got time to explain that to you. Get on BBOVN, get on Roku, get on something and get it for yourself. Anyway, Stanley was killed in a truck wreck. And we took that scripture to heart, you know. Sorrow not, for we are not a people without hope. Comfort one another with these words and so forth. Jesus is coming. And Gloria had gone to a women's meeting. And this woman was the speaker. Now, let me tell you something about Stanley. Stanley, oh, man, this guy. He was a journeyman brick and rock mason. Mm, he's strongest. I mean, you... His arms, his waist is about this big around. Take 2 5-gallon buckets of mud and climb a ladder with them in his hand. Don't ask me. I watched him do it on my chimney at our prayer cabin. He's building the chimney. And he went up, of course, the ladder's leaning. He went up the chimney with 2 buckets of mud. And I'm standing there with Gloria's brother, and I don't believe what I'm seeing, and neither does Doug. I said, Doug, I hope you've got your licks in. He said, I ain't touching him anymore. Anyway. His arms were, you know, big, and he hated shirts with sleeves in them. He just despised them. You could give him a dress shirt to go to Sunday school, he'd cut the sleeves out and wear a jacket. I mean, he couldn't get the boy to wear sleeves. He just wouldn't do it. Anyway, she came to Gloria after, and she said, Gloria, she said, I need to tell you this. She said, when I was in heaven, she said, the people were, he said, they're really, really, really busy preparing for the marriage supper of the Lamb. Well, you'd be busy too if you had over a billion people coming to a party. I mean, come on, you know, take a while to prepare that. Oh, no, several billion. Say like 6 billion or whatever. You know, I don't know. Anyway, 3 or 4 billion in here. She said, here was this young man, and she said he was laying out a place, you know, at tables. And she said, he walked over there and said, he walked right up to me and said, tell Gloria I was not in that truck when it burned. See, when that thing crashed, he was asleep. He never knew anything about the crash. He just woke up in heaven.
Glory to God.
Now, we talked about that yesterday, right? Listen to this. She said, he didn't have any sleeves in the garment he was wearing. I don't care. That's your problem. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, Tim, we're in a world where they're letting... we see. Talking about the lack of understanding of righteousness. And we talked about the fact this one holds more people in bondage than anything else. 2 Corinthians 5:21, Romans 3:21-24, we read those. Romans 5:1. Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, please. Hebrews 10. This is another one that... I don't know how to describe. Well, yeah. Thank you, Lord. Yes, I do. But I'm jumping ahead of myself. First verse, 10th chapter, Hebrews. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. Now, don't ever let the, in the Bible, particularly King James Bible, don't let the word perfect, that don't mean flawless. That means complete, it means mature, coming to the place where you should be. For then, let me read it again. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, those offerings of lambs and bulls and animal blood is what he's talking about, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect or complete. For then, would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshipers once purged, the scripture says that Jesus by himself purged our sins with his own blood, should have had no more conscience of sins, should have had no more sin consciousness. But should have had what? a righteousness consciousness. I'm a new creature. I've been made the righteousness of God. This takes meditation. It takes every day talking about it. It takes every day listening to CDs, dig out your old tapes, whatever it takes. I mean, read it to yourself. We were talking last week about reading and feeding on the word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word preached under the anointing. And I talked about the fact I don't like to read. I'm audio, and that most musicians are that way, and we talked to Patrick about it and David and so forth and so on. But that's no excuse for us to not do it.
Right.
Huh?
Amen.
Right. Now, come on, Kenneth. All right. Now, don't misunderstand me. I love the Word of God. I mean, I love it. And so, yeah, I can do that. Thank God for my phone. Yeah. Okay, I'll listen to him, and I'll read the same time I'm reading.
Oh, amen.
Amen. Amen. If you don't have something to do that, read it out loud. Listen to it preached. Listen to it preached. Amen. Don't just listen to anything that comes down the road. You get the CDs of these meetings. You get something. You get it and download them. Download them into your phone. Amen.
Amen.
And listen to it. Listen to it. Listen. Listen to the same one over and over and over. And listen to this about the righteousness of God,
yes,
till it gets down on the inside of you, that it puts a run on you that you just can't stop. Yes. Now, when that happens, and I'm ahead of myself here, but listen to me carefully. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And you just keep listening, and you just keep reading, and you just keep listening, and you just keep listening. You be honest to it, and you stay with it. Praise God. You're an athlete in training. You're working. You're building up your spirit muscles. You're building up your faith. You're working at this thing, and you're enjoying this thing, but you're doing it whether you enjoy it or not. If you have to get up early in the morning, get up. Amen. And just like, you know, I don't know how many drops it takes to run the cup over or fill the cup. I know how many it takes to run it over. One. David said, my cup runneth over. Well, stay with it till it runs over. Jesus calls that faith boiling over. We were laying in the bed one night and just talking these things. We'd been listening to. And she said, Kenneth, that's faith boiling over. Whoa, that's it. You have to stay with it till it boils.
Amen.
When it boils, that's when the results come.
Glory.
I got it immediately. No, you didn't. You just got it suddenly. But the pot had to boil. No such thing as water that won't boil. No such thing as faith that don't come by hearing and hearing by the word of God.
That's right. Yes. That's right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you get in there and you start listening. Listen to these messages right here. Listen to it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Particularly about the righteousness of God. The right, because the devil will come in there and say, yeah, I know who you are. Think about it. You ain't no righteousness of God. You big mouth. Yeah, I know that big mouth preacher talking about all that stuff, but you know you. Yeah, God been mad at you for 28 years. I know it. Don't you be thinking that. Just reach up and just slap your own jaws. I'm serious. If you're serious, you get right back in there and get on your face before God and say, I repent for even thinking such a stupid lie as that. I've been made the righteousness of God by the sweet blood of Jesus. And I will never receive anything. supposed to be healed. I'm supposed to be well. I'm supposed to be prosperous. I'm supposed to be out of debt. I'm a new creation. I'm supposed to be a prosperity agent. I'm supposed to be a witness to the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. I know who I am in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Develop a righteousness consciousness, sin consciousness identifies with Adam. A righteousness consciousness identifies with Jesus, the resurrected Lord. Huh? So who do I identify with? Identify with Jesus. All of our lives, if we didn't know any better, we had never had heard anything like this. I'm talking about honest, wonderful, born again, spirit-filled Christians that are still struggling. And this is one of the main reasons why. Because the devil has them under the force of a lie. You're just an old sinner saved by grace, and you're doing the best you can, but you know how it is. I mean, you know, the wrath of God comes on the disobedient, and you know, he's been mad at me for a long time. Isaiah 54. Oh, I tell you, if this don't set you on fire, your wood's wet. Now, Isaiah 53 is Jesus on the cross. Surely he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows and so forth. Now, chapter 54 is speaking to the church. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge, and so forth and so on. So this is speaking to the body of Christ. Now notice in verse 8, in a little wrath, verse 7, for a small moment have I forsaken thee, 3 days and three nights. For a small moment, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath, in that small moment, I hid my face from thee for a moment. That's talking about Jesus. But with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. Say, my Redeemer speaking. Saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee.
Amen. Gloria a Dios.
God isn't mad anymore.
No, he's not.
Disappointed? Yes. But not mad.
That's right.
He ain't never mad at you. No. Jesus took all the mad out of him. He poured all his mad out on Jesus.
That's right.
And ain't neither one of them mad at you for anything. Or anybody else but the devil. They hate him. But they don't pay no attention to him. They already defeated him and turned him over to us. Hallelujah. Oh, come on.
Glory to God.
Can you see it? He's not mad. All of that came out of old covenant teaching And most of that was erroneous because people didn't understand what they were reading. God is love.
Yes, he is.
I was sitting on the platform one night, and a big crowd, and everybody shouting and praising God, and everybody just kind of going wild and just having so much fun. And I'm sitting up there enjoying everything. And I heard the word of the Lord. Like I said last night, I've never heard the audible voice of God, but right down in here, he said, "Kenneth, if it hadn't been for sin, I'd have never had a serious thought." Well, of course, what is there to be serious about? Death.
Amen.
Death. That's what made sin serious. But then he defeated death.
Yes, he did.
So his serious thinking is over again.
That's true.
He retired. He did. Isn't that right, Greg? And he turned all the judgment over to Jesus and said, "Go home. Go get him, boy. You take care of it. I'm done." You put up with him. I'll put up with him as long as I'm... Jesus and who that is living on the inside of you, there'll be a 100% completely fixed grin on your face that funerals can't even get rid of. Oh, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Glory, 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 glory. Oh, thank you. The third one, we'll just have time to introduce this. How much time have we got, Tim? Okay. Lack of understanding of our place in Him and His place in us. Now, I want to give you an assignment, and it's very specific. Look up in the New Testament, beginning with the book of Romans, the phrase, "in Christ, in Him, and in whom." Now, it occurs over 130 times. And of course, it's going to take you some time to look it up. Use your concordance and don't, of course, if you don't know how to use a concordance, go ahead and Google it. There's nothing wrong with that. But then you just get the scripture reference. Don't read what anybody in, it's all right. No, I'm not talking about bad people, but I'm talking about you studying. Study to show yourself approved. A workman worthy of his heart. Just, it comes up there, you put in there, and, you know, in Him, in Christ, and it comes up the script. Just get the scripture reference, turn the thing off. Then you go to your Bible, and you start, just make your list, and then start looking them up and reading them. Now listen, take your notebook, take the time to write these out. You remember what you write and read and speak. Write those scripture verses out in longhand. Now, some of you that journal, this will be easy to you. The others of you like me, you're going to have to work at it because it takes a little time. But remember, any man that is in Christ is what? A new creature. In Him, in whom we have redemption. In whom we have received an inheritance. It will absolutely change your heart. Your faith will skyrocket. But you take the time. I don't care. Who cares if it takes 3 months? Read it. Look them up. Read them. When you find one of them, then stop and read that chapter. Read the entire book. None of the books in the New Testament, except the book of Revelation, book of Hebrews, are very long. You'd be shocked at how little time it takes to read the book of 1 John, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. You know, I mean, these are small, because they're letters. They're small books. But take the time. You're feeding your spirit. What are you doing? You have left the sincere milk of the Word, and you're reaching now for the meat, for those that are full-grown, mature believers who have become skillful in the Word of righteousness.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You're no longer little scared rabbit. You got a sword belted on. Don't tell the devil I told you. Yeah, tell him I told you. In Christ, in Him, in whom? Now look at 1 John 4:4. You are of God. Say, I am of God.
I am of God.
You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. You have overcome them. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. So what are we working on here? Oh, Father in heaven, that's wonderful. But He's right here. We're changing our spiritual imagery and renewing our minds.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And becoming God inside minded.
Yes.
This one will make you a fearless warrior.
Mm. Amen.
Glory to God. Amen.
Amen.
Let's go back over here and let's look in the 6th chapter of 1 Corinthians, verse 17. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians. And let's look in the 6th chapter also. Verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness? You're the righteousness of God. I'm the righteousness of God. We know Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah. We're becoming God. We're developing a righteousness consciousness, and now we're developing a God inside consciousness. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light? We are born of the light, we're children of the light, and we put on the armor of light. What communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with the body of Christ? We're the body of the anointed one and carriers of that burden-removing power. Glory to God. Boy, you can get happy in this church tonight. Hallelujah. What concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God, which is us, with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them, I will walk in them, I'll be their God, and they'll be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, praise to God. Look at that 18th verse. Be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. It hit me one day. I'd be reading that, and I'd been preaching it. I've been preaching it for quite some time, several years. And thank you, Lord, for correcting me. I was preaching it. I'd never thought of this before. I've had this happen a lot of times. You have no idea what it's like to preach and listen to somebody else at the same time. Just going along preaching, and I see it. She's coming out my mouth. Look at it. I will dwell in them. I will walk in them. Now, he is in our spirit. Our spirit, of course, is the life of this body. So our body is the tabernacle that we live in. And I thought, I'll walk in them. I'll live in them. I'll dwell in them. I'll walk in them. No wonder he said, lay hands on people. His legs are in my legs. Yes. He is in me.
Yes, yes, yes.
If you let him, he'll consume you. Hallelujah. Amen. And this phrase came out, I am wall to wall, Holy Ghost. I walk up next to danger. He's next to danger.
Yes. Amen.
When I learn to release him and put he into my humble, who'll be easy. The Lord instructed me to lay my hands on you, for there is a place that needs to be healed, and you've been talking about it, and he's doing it right now. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, there's a sweetness about your spirit that I just love hanging around you. And you walk up next to danger, he's next to danger. But you have to learn to yield to him. You walk up next to somebody, all mad at you. Hey, no. Don't be going for that. Let the lover loose in you.
Yes.
I'm talking about the spirit of love.
Yes.
God himself. Just relax. Turn inside. Listen to what he's saying, not what they're saying. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. I was preaching in Wichita Falls, Texas. This was the first meeting that we had out on our own. And so it was 1969. And meeting Ben Gwee, we were there 21 days, you know. It took 2 weeks, really, seriously, it took 2 weeks to get the unbelief out, and you start preaching some things like this, some people get mad at you because they never heard anything like that. Anyway, but by the third week, and we were in the third week, and man, the place was full,
an old abandoned drugstore building. They turned the power on and sparks shot up through the outlets in the floor. That's so nasty. Anyway. Well, there was a woman, I was preaching on the righteousness of God. This very thing. All of a sudden, this woman began to speak with other tongues, loud. And there's just a wet blanket kind of a feeling. The anointing just... I said, lady, hold that, please, hold that. She just kept louder, got louder. I said, please, hold that. She just got louder. I said, lady, shut up! She got louder and louder. Then she started interpreting. Yay, 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 yay. Just went on, yay, yay, and didn't say anything. So I just stopped. And I said, well, the anointing has been grieved. The Spirit of God's been grieved. So at least maybe I can teach you something about this. And this guy said, Brother Copeland, she's stone deaf. She couldn't hear a word you said. All of a sudden, I'm the meanie in the room. Come to find out later, this guy did this a lot to anybody like me that came into town in order to destroy the meeting. I didn't know it at the time. Thank God I didn't fly off the handle. I learned that from my spiritual fathers, Oral Roberts and Kenneth E. Hagin. Boy, you stay in love or you'll lose it. So I just turned inward, stood there for a minute. I didn't have a clue what to do. Remember what I'm talking about? Turn the lover loose. Yes. Love himself. Yes. He said, call her up there and lay your hands on her and I'll open her ears. I called her up there, laid my hands on her, and he opened her ears.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Suddenly, I'm a champion. No, Jesus is the healer. But it sure did make me look good. I had to do something, brother, because they were fixing to get a rope, you know. I'm like, Jesus, they're going to run me out of town and jump me off the cliff. The love of God never fails. But you're going to have to do it in faith. And you're going to have to be listening and you have to be obedient. Remember what I told you last week about Jasmine Mays? She could have got mad at that one. Like to have. She said it really irritated her when that woman stuck her foot up by her airline seat, you know, next to the window and knocked her arm off of the footrest. She said, oh no, I can't be doing that. So she looked at her and she took a video of herself going. And then she said she got so tickled. She started laughing and laughing. Then she finally figured out that the woman rear finally figured out she's laughing at her and she shook her feet back. That thing went viral. That little tiny video that didn't do anything or say anything, she just went. Just made this ugly face. Just a few seconds. 27 million views. 300,000 views. Finally, a man came and bought it from her. Now she gets a royalty every time somebody looks at it. Remember what I told you last week, what the Lord said to me one time? He said, Kenneth, I got a million ways I can make you a billionaire, and you can't think of three. And I couldn't. All I could think of is three times somebody give it to me. I thought, because we're talking about a billionaire. If he, you know, if he'd said a millionaire, I could have a hit record, maybe, you know, do something. No, a billionaire. No, I can't do it. That little old video has made Jasmine a millionaire. And it hadn't quit yet. And I told you last week, and I'm telling you again this week, go Google Inside Edition and watch it and make Jasmine some more money. She's our partner. Would you please make her some more money? Hey, this is what I'm talking about. Don't get in your little cocoon and say, I don't see how God get any money to me. Well, just shut up and grin and take every video you can. Look to the greater one. Say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Oh, that's, you ought to be shouting. Yeah, you ought to be shouting right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Woo! Glory, 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 glory. Becoming God inside minded. How much time have I got, Tim? Huh? Okay, just perfect. Something called the Great Exchange. I didn't come up with that on my own. But I took it back there years and years and years ago. And the Lord, today, while I was studying for this message tonight, and I just got so excited in all of this, and I just heard it in my spirit. The Great Exchange. You share it tonight. You ready?
Yes.
Remember, we identify with Adam, with a sin consciousness. We identify with Jesus as a righteousness consciousness. This is substitution and identification. Jesus' substitution, our identification. Very simple. Jesus died to make us alive. He was made sin with our sins to make us the righteousness of God with his righteousness. He became weak to make us strong. He suffered our shame to give us his glory. He went to hell to take us to heaven. He was condemned to set us free. He was made sick with our sicknesses that we be healed and live in divine health. He was cast out of the presence of God in order to make us welcome. Righteousness. Right standing with God. Having a righteousness consciousness. Ephesians chapter 2, quickly. Chapter 1, the 19th verse. What is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. He wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Far above, where? Far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all.
verse 6 of chapter 2, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
We have presence in heaven right now.
Hallelujah.
We're seated at the right hand of Jesus.
Amen.
He's on the right hand of God.
Yes. Yes.
And we're at his right hand.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. That righteousness is a righteousness consciousness comes to the place where you stand before a holy, righteous God with no fear, no sense of condemnation. Turn to Romans 8. But a sense of belonging. I belong in this place. This place was built for me. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8, and we're done. There is therefore now, say now.
Now.
Say now.
Now.
Say now.
Now.
You can't say now while ago. Every time you say now, it's now. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, wait a minute. What, I want you to hold it. Hold it. Stop. I learned just a few months ago that that line, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, that phrase was put on there down through over four generations, four generations of copies of manuscripts. It was added on there by somebody. Now, look at this. Look. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation. There is none. You have to believe the lie of the devil to ever get under condemnation. Now, we judge ourselves that we be not judged, not condemn ourselves. Hallelujah. Did you get anything out of all that? Come on, give the Lord a praise and a thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jeremy will be right back in just a moment.
If your life doesn't appear to measure up to what you've dreamed, this moment is not an accident. Neither is your life. You can take matters into your own hands and work with God to chart a desired course as you navigate through life. Faith is not exclusive to that super Christian next door. Faith is basic and will produce practical results. Like training turns an athlete into a pro, you can develop your faith to knock the ball right out of the park every time. This 15-message teaching series, The Fundamentals of Faith, derived from over 50 years of experience, will cause you to finally be effective in your own life. In this series, Kenneth Copeland will break down the workings of faith and prayer, giving you practical handles to master. You will go from just knowing about it to mastering faith so that life's setbacks don't master you. Allow Kenneth Copeland to personally mentor you through these groundbreaking lessons. It's your time to hit a home run.
Get back to the basics of faith. Practice the fundamentals and get God's results. Request your free 15-message series by Kenneth Copeland called The Fundamentals of Faith. Available on MP3, DVD, or digital download. Go to kcm.org/TV special or call 800-600-7395. Offer good for 60 days. If you are outside the United States, shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
I know some of you are sitting at the edge of your seats at the end of this message today. You want to hear the end of this story. Well, you're going to have to tune in tomorrow to hear the rest of the story my grandfather is going to tell. And I don't want to give anything away, but I will say this. Heaven is a real place. You need to know about the reality of heaven and the reality of the eternity that we're going to spend with God. And those of us who are born again, those of us who have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus by making Him the Lord of our lives, we know that heaven's a real place. We know that that is our home and that we're just passing through this place. But listen to me, if you're not born again, if Jesus isn't the Lord of your life, if you've never been saved, you need to be. You need to stop what you're doing right now, and you need to pray this prayer out loud with me. Just believe it in your heart and say it out loud with your mouth. Say, Father in heaven, I come to you in Jesus' name. I repent of all my sin. I receive your cleansing, your washing. Make me new. Now say this, Jesus, I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth that you are Lord, that you lived for me, died for me, and rose again for me. And I ask you, Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Take my life and do something with it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I know it's a simple prayer, but the Bible says when you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you are saved. When you believe God raised Him from the dead, you're born again. Just like Jesus was, you are. You're born again, and all of heaven rejoices with you, and everybody at Kenneth Copeland Ministries rejoices with you, and we've got a free gift that we want to send to you. If you're born again today, if you prayed that prayer with me for the first time, call us, write us, get online, do whatever it takes to let us know, and we're going to send you this free gift. It's a book called He Did It All For You. It's by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. And along with this book, we're going to send you these two brochures that help you read and study your Bible. Request your free salvation package today. Go to kcm.org.
I commit this to you. I write a partner letter every month. I pray for you every day. I put scriptures there on the bottom of that partner letter, and I put those on there specifically for your benefit so that you can go back and read those and make them a part of your prayer life.
Kenneth Copeland's commitment to his partners has led to over 350 individual letters being written since 1986. The U.S. office mails the letter to over 400,000 partners and friends every month. These powerful messages from God's heart minister life to your spirit and strengthen you in your daily walk of faith.
I'm a partner for about probably 5 years now, and I enjoy his product, especially his monthly letters. I wait for them in the mail. I just love those. They're so very inspiring.
And he always hits it right on. Whatever I'm going through, that is the word for that month. And I keep that letter.
But I will write them to help them get their needs met, to help them prosper, to help them grow in the Lord and grow in faith and grow in prayer and go from religion to reality, praise God.
Come to a Kenneth Copeland Ministries event. September 14th and 15th, register to attend the Built to Last Men's Conference at Eagle Mountain International Church in Newark, Texas, USA. September 20th through 22nd, the Charlotte Victory Campaign in Charlotte, North Carolina, USA. November 8th through 10th, join us at our nation's capital for the Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign at the Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia, USA. For more information, go to kcm.org/events.